know that when you have a purpose and a calling on your life, there's nothing that nobody and nothing can happen.
I am Angela C. Wright.
Over the top, the gotcha.
He said your numbers has shrunk. He said, I don't know how, why.
You're not going to get unless you're going to have mounds of security for me because you're not going to get me.
If I wasn't depressed and going through what I was going through, I probably would have never started.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Break Free Podcast with Shakari. And today I have a very special guest with me. All of my guests are special, but this one is all the way from the Shy, y'all. She came through to tell her story, and I pray that someone is set free as a result of it today. Y'all help me welcome Chi Chi from the Shy.
Hey, y'all.
Uh-uh, girl, stop trying to act shy. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling good.
That's good.
I want to thank you for having me on here.
Oh, girl, it's no problem. It's no problem. Yeah, so I just wanted, like, you've been through a lot, you know, and you're still young, but, you know, you're still here. So that's what inspired me to even want to have you to come on. You know, talk a little bit about your childhood, about growing up in Chicago on the South Side.
Okay, so I'm going to lay down the foundation. I grew up on the South Side of Chicago. My life was not all glitter and gold.
Yeah.
I moved around a lot, though. So probably everywhere you could think of out there, I probably done lived.
Why did you move around a lot?
Because my mother was on drugs, mm-hmm. and my father was incarcerated. And I kind of just didn't have no stable ground as far as family and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Everybody had their own stuff going on, and me being a child, I just clung to what I knew. I was in survival mode.
Yeah.
So I clung to wherever I knew I would be good.
And, like, what was that like, being in survival mode at such a young age? Because how old were you? When did you realize, like, oh, I'm on my own?
Oh, shoot. Really? Seventh grade. Mm-hmm. Seventh grade.
So around then you was about 12, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Seventh grade. That's around the time when I noticed that stuff was off about my mom. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're young, you see certain stuff and you kind of take note of certain stuff. I didn't know what it was at that time, but, you know.
You knew something was wrong, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she was on drugs, and I was living with different family members at first. Mm-hmm. And so then after that, we commuted to different places, and I was staying with different family members. I wasn't in one school for more than a year.
So. Oh, wow. Did you resent your mom for that at that time, or you just felt like
I was her backbone? My mama called me mama to this day, and I asked her one day, I'm like, why do you call me mama?
Oh, wow.
And she said that's why, because I was her backbone.
Because you took care of her, basically. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So you always been kind of, like, responsible and, like, never even took time. Did you ever take time to be like, this is too much for me?
No, you know what's crazy? I look back on my younger self all the time. Mm-hmm. And when I had my women's organization, that was one of my topics. If you could say anything to your younger self, what would you say? Mm-hmm. And I said that because, like, looking back now, I feel like I was way stronger. And I think a lot of that was because I didn't have no other choice. So I didn't have time to really sit and think and feel sorry for my situation or nothing. I just kind of went with the move.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will tell you to this day, like, I'm probably the strongest person they know. And I hear it, but now it's like, I wish I was her again. Like, I really wish I was her again. I don't know how I went through some of the stuff I did, mm-hmm. and how I was able to come around people with just this chipper attitude and this smile, but I did it. And I did it just off back. I didn't think twice about it.
Yeah.
And I always was there for people. You know, even when I had my own stuff going on, mm-hmm. and you would never know. So
because you kind of, like, kept it in. You know, it's crazy how you said you were so strong then, but you don't feel like it now. Mm-hmm. My manager always bothered me because he calls me a whiner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I might complain about something. And his thing is, how did you do? You did 14 years in prison, and now you come home and the least little thing is, Bob.
It's like, this my time. Let me let it out. I'm feeling it now.
Yeah.
So, and I think a lot of it is because we're older, so we kind we feel it more because we know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, even then, it's like I kind of knew what was going on, but it didn't set in that this is not how it's supposed to be. So mm-hmm. now with us being older, it's like, no. Like, all I knew was struggle. I'm ready to just be happy.
And live.
So that's where the frustration comes in. I think that's what it is. Like, we want certain stuff a certain way because we was always in survival mode. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why not? I just want better.
Yeah.
So we get frustrated sometimes.
Yeah, so I definitely get frustrated at the mm-hmm. least little thing. So then your dad, too, where was your father? Because he wasn't around.
He was incarcerated. He got incarcerated when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. He was sentenced 15 years. He ended up doing 12 for good behavior. Mm-hmm. And even when he got out, he was, like, in a transitional house. So I kind of really didn't get to cling to him like I wanted to. But before he got locked up, I know I was a daddy's girl.
You was a daddy's girl?
Definitely, yes. Every time we went to visit him when I was younger, like, that was – the hardest part is leaving him.
Yeah. That's always the hardest part of a mm-hmm. visit. You love to see the person coming in. And believe it or not, it's hard for him, too. You know, mm-hmm. we love to see our family members coming. But for them to have to leave and, you know, it's back to that dreadful world. Exactly. And then y'all leaving and y'all got to get in the car and he's not there. So, like, did you struggle, like, when you started dating, did you struggle with, like, the type of man?
Yes. And the crazy thing is I just asked him this literally. Mm-hmm. This weekend that passed, because I'm still single, for one, and I've definitely had my share of men. Not the best choices at all. Yeah. I've been in domestic relationships that if friends didn't get me out of, I probably wouldn't be here.
Mm.
So something just told me to ask him, because I was talking to a friend, and it was like, do your daddy ever feel some type of way about your choice in men? And I was just like, well, I don't really bring nobody around unless I really feel like it's something.
Yeah.
And I've only had one person that I brought around him for real. Mm-hmm. And he was the most craziest relationship I had. So when I asked my dad, I'm like, Daddy. And it was random. I'm like, do you feel like I got, like, a bad choice of men and stuff? And that was his answer, basically. He haven't really got he haven't really got to know my choice of men. Mm-hmm. But the one person he did meet, that was the domestic relationship. That was the craziest relationship I ever been in.
He would just fight you for no reason? Or what would y'all
get into? He locked me in a bathroom. Like, he was just very insecure. He grew up with no parents. Both of his parents were deceased. So it's like he clung to me to be his everything. His mother, his friend, his homie, his everything. And me... like, I've always taken care of family, so it's like I took care of him. And
you felt like you was obligated to take care of him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even after he would fight you?
Yeah, because I would make excuses. Mm-hmm. But I got to the point where I'm like, this not okay. And I still remember that one day when I was fed up, and I was like, if you don't get help, I'm done. I'm completely done. Then, knowing him, he's freaking narcissistic. He call and act like he calling to get therapy. I was saying, why nobody on that damn phone? Like, you just punched a hole in my doggone wall. But, yeah, he was crazy. But I thank God for my friend at the time. She, because I was, like, secluded from the world. Mm-hmm. And I would reach out to people and I didn't understand why they weren't answering or why this and that. And whole time, it was because he had, and I ain't know much about iPhones then. Mm-hmm. And so I Googled it. I'm like, why everybody writing me on social media saying they've been trying to reach out to me and I haven't been responding? So I looked up how to see where the block list was on the iPhone. And there was, he had all family members, friends on my block list. He switched around the last two numbers of people. So even when I did, like, unblock them, I was calling the wrong number. Like, it was just crazy.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he would down. If I wouldn't answer and I got away, he would down. He downloaded this app to where it looked like it was my daddy calling, the same emojis and everything. So I got the phone. Like,
but you're free of him now, right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he at, what he doing.
Dude, you know, sometimes we fashion our men, like, after our dad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So not saying that your dad was abusive or anything like that, but maybe it's certain traits that you remember as a child in your father. You know, like for me, I could say I've always dated drug dealers, right? Mm-hmm. My father never sold drugs, mm-hmm. but my father was a pastor. And what that correlates to is the power. As a little girl, you see all these people, everybody oohing on over your dad. So you feel like your dad is a king. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I fashioned my men in that way. I wanted the dope boy, the boy that had all the money, the boy that was the hula, you know, that's what I wanted. And that's how I fashioned my men, you know. So maybe it's something, maybe you could sit with yourself and try to see what is it that you remember in your childhood that fascinated you about your father. And maybe that's how you can get your reason as to the type of, you know, the type of men, because you are a pretty girl. You get what I'm saying? So I know the bad boys be after you. You get what I'm saying? And of course, sometimes it is okay to help somebody, but you're not nobody's mother. You get what I'm saying? And you have to get out of that mode where you feel like you're obligated to take care of everybody else, because exactly. When are you going to take care of you?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was draining. It was mm-hmm. really draining. So when I did finally get away from that, and I'm not going to lie to you, the only way I got away from him is I moved to Atlanta.
Oh, so that's what brought you here.
That's not the only thing.
Yeah, but okay, before we get to you coming to Atlanta, mm-hmm. At six, you know, you raised yourself, and then so at 16, you just was like what?
I was emancipated at 16. I was staying with different friends from school. And then once I started applying for colleges and stuff, I was working two jobs.
At 16?
Yes. I was working two jobs. I was in high school. And that's in one of my songs, too. Mm-hmm. I do music, but
you do music.
Yeah,
okay.
In my song called Real Life, that's what I speak about at the beginning, how I was literally working one job, and I was going to the next job, changing in the bathroom, and then working that, and then getting up in the morning and going to high school like a regular person. And I still graduated with honors.
You did?
Sure did.
Wow, yep. that is phenomenal in itself.
Yep, and then so when I applied for colleges or whatever, I ended up getting accepted to a few that I wanted, mm-hmm. but my funds weren't looking right. Yeah. I couldn't do the parent plus loan, whatever that's
financial
called.
Aid.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just like I had to file as independent. Mm-hmm. So I had to write all these personal statements and stuff, and they ended up accepting me, but I didn't really like it once I got there. So then I just ended up going to a school called Kishwaukee, mm-hmm. and that's in Illinois, too.
Okay.
And so I went there, and I graduated on the dean's list there, too.
In college? Mm-hmm. All by yourself?
And I sold my first car to get there because I didn't have the funds. You know, they had the trunk parties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's where everybody
nobody got. You didn't have anybody to get your stuff for college.
My mama did. She tried. She put together a trunk party for me. Mm-hmm. And people came, but it wasn't.
The stuff you needed.
Nothing.
But so, you know, what I get from you thus far is you're just determined by any means. Mm-hmm. Because you felt like, okay, I want to go to school. I'm going to school, so I'm going to sell my car.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I did. And I got everything I needed for my first year. Mm-hmm. And college. My first year of college, my mama she ended up going into a homeless shelter. And so, you know, during the breaks and stuff, you got to move out of your dorm room, dang.
Yeah.
So I didn't have nowhere to go. I had a car. I ended up getting another car with my refund check. Mm-hmm. Moved all my stuff in my car, and I just was going over different people's houses and stuff. So ain't nobody know that I really just didn't have nowhere to stay.
Was you ever embarrassed by being at different people's house?
Yeah, sometimes, not bringing all my stuff in there. I would have to go to my trunk and stuff and, like, get certain clothes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I can honestly say a lot of my friends didn't make me feel like that, but it was just how I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they knew what was going on with you, or you wouldn't share what was going on.
Yeah, I was very transparent mm-hmm. with my situation, but I wasn't really transparent with my feelings at the time.
And why do you feel like you wasn't able to be transparent with your feelings?
I feel like because I was in emotion still. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time to really sit and feel.
Yeah.
So I think that was really the only thing.
Mm-hmm. And then so you said, okay, I'm coming to Atlanta.
Yes. So I up and said, I'm coming to Atlanta. I wanted to go to Emory. for nursing school.
Okay.
So I did end up going to college. Well, I graduated from the college in Illinois with my associates in science, but I transferred, I ended up transferring to Kennesaw State instead of Emory.
Okay.
And that's when I first moved out here, dude did not want to break up with me. I'm talking about my ex.
Uh-huh.
And so I made it my duty to leave.
Yeah.
He would not leave me alone. And that's how he ended up, that's how I ended up parting from him, because he got locked up trying to pop up on me out here in Atlanta.
Wow.
So he got arrested an hour out from the job I was at the point at that time. I was
Girl,
working
do you
at
look
North
at how God protects you?
All the time. All the time. And I got to kind of remind myself a lot of times, because sometimes when you always in survival mode since young, it's just like, I just want to breathe. I just want to be happy.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. You know, and I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here, but it's coming. Like, I'm telling you, like, it could feel like you try for years and years and years and years, and nothing ever breaks. You get what I'm saying? Like, when I was in prison, I used to always file for this motion, file for that motion, deny, 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 deny. So many no's, you know, and I didn't get my first yes until 10 years.
Wow.
It took 10 years for me to get my first sentence reduction. You get what I'm saying? So I'm telling you, like, I know it seemed like this has been from the age 7 to how old you are now, and it seemed like you can't catch a break, but your break is coming. Your breakthrough coming. Yeah, it's coming.
Break free. That's why I'm on break free podcast. Oh, period.
Yeah. So do you still want to be a nurse, or?
I don't, and I'm going to say this a million times, is because of my experiences. I know the type of person it takes to be a nurse, mm-hmm. and the type of nurses people need. And based off my experiences, I'm not really I pray to maintain compassion all the time. Mm-hmm. But I know how I am on some days, and I'm still working on myself. But I feel like how I feel when I come to the doctor or stuff, if you don't greet me or if you don't show no compassion, it just makes your situation so much worse.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that person for somebody else. And I just feel like I kind of drew away from it. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe it won't. But I don't want to do it no more. I don't want to be that person that messed up somebody's life or situation.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, at least you're honest with yourself. Yeah, you at least you're honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, being out here in Atlanta, you started to, you went to school, you graduated mm-hmm. with honors. And then what else did you get into?
So I dipped and dabbed into the beauty industry a lot. Mm-hmm. I graduated from the esthetician program. I was doing makeup in the shop, and then I was selling hair, too. But I was doing a lot. Property management, mm-hmm. that's what paid the bills and stuff, mm-hmm. property management. And that's really all I can think. Oh, and then I started my women's organization out here, too.
Yeah, let's talk about the women's organization. Was the accident before or after the women's organization?
After.
Okay, so, yeah, let's talk about the women's organization.
So the women's organization, I started, 2018 or 2019? Mm-hmm. It was after, and it's still an open case, so I can't say too much. Mm-hmm. But it was after I was sexually assaulted at work by several employees. And they drugged me. It's something that I beat myself up about a lot before I actually saw the footage. And so that was something I was going through. And
could you say where you was working at, or you can't say where you was working?
I definitely can't say where I was working at. I could probably get in a little more detail about the case, but I can't say like
okay, where. You don't got to say where you was working at, but go ahead. You said so you was at work or whatever.
Yeah, and they originally called me there because I was the top sales. So mm-hmm. they was just like, oh, come, I got to give you a schedule anyways. I had just got out of the class. I was going to Kennesaw State at the time. And I was excited. I'm like, okay, I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
And so they gave me my schedule, and they gave me more. The more you sell, the more days you get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a plus, especially mm-hmm. when you're trying to get some money out here. So we was excited about that. And long story short, the employees, with us celebrating and stuff, somewhere down the line, I was drugged, and I just remember waking up in the hospital. And I heard several different stories about what happened or what may have happened. And I just was beating myself up about it because it wasn't, it was very distasteful stories. And I know myself. So I'm just like, no, I don't know. So I had to fight and fight and fight for that video footage. And the detective that was on my case, he was such an asshole. Mm-hmm. I had to, like, literally start recording conversations because he was so dismissive. He didn't believe me. So I ended up going over his head. His supervisor didn't get in contact with his supervisor. I ended up finding a lieutenant. The lieutenant just so happened to be a black female.
Wow.
She got my video footage that same day I left her a message. And the video footage was 6 hours long. And it was very disturbing to watch because a lot of people who should have been protecting me saw what was going on. They was frantic. They was panicking, but didn't do nothing.
And so, like, what, like, did somebody, like, actually physically?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I ended up finding some lawyers, mm-hmm. and they released that video footage to the lawyers. And I ended up winning my damage and loss hearing, and it's just been a process. It's been a process, but I feel like that was what really, like, took me overboard at that point in my life.
How old was you, if you don't mind me asking
when
that happened?
I was 20. That was 2018, 2019. I had to have been, like, 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
One of them.
And it showed on the video, like, somebody put something in your...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could see the difference in my mannerism, too. Mm-hmm. You could see the difference in my mannerism. And I'm like, I knew it. Like, I knew. Like, and so a big thing that kind of made me feel better was everybody at that place went on strike for me. They did not come to work. I ended up running into one of the female waitresses that worked there. Mm-hmm. She was at a Mexican restaurant I came to eat at, and she just pulled me to the side. She was like, girl, I ain't been back there since.
She but said, why you ain't stop it? Why you ain't call the police?
I don't think she was there that night. She heard. Okay. Oh, like, she heard. A lot of the employees that heard, they just didn't. They went on strike for me. And I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like everybody who didn't stop it, that knew what was going on, was like the main people, like the manager, the DJ, and stuff like that. So it was like, is this something that y'all do on a regular and nobody...
ever said anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it probably gets swept under the rug. Mm-hmm. And then, too, what you're saying that the detective didn't believe you. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So they probably thought you was this fast-tailed little girl. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? And you was, you know, thinking you was with it or whatever. And now you want to cry rape, you know, mm-hmm. because a lot of times it's sad to say that is what happened with people either in position, you know, athletes, you know, influential people, when you do try to speak up, it's like, oh, no, you wanted it or, you know, it was your fault. So, I mean, it is a good thing that you do have that. That's, again, there goes that determined spirit that you know yourself. Like, you know what you're capable of, and you know you ain't going to lie. Like, if you gave somebody head, I gave them head, period, point blank. But if I didn't.
I'm like, I know I wouldn't do it. And I really fought with myself about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking about wanting to take my life. Like, it was really weighing on me. And they
wanted to take your life?
I tried after that. That's what made me do my women's organization. I don't want nobody to ever feel like how I felt. Mm-hmm. I felt alone. I just recently told my daddy, like, a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. My mama still don't know.
You didn't tell her?
No. I have not told her. But it was kind of what I was telling you earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of, I've always been kind of like her protector, and I know her. If she's stressed out, she gonna fall on the deep end too. Because
oh, I get what you're saying. You don't want her to go back down that road.
In high school, I walked in on her.
Mm-hmm. And this episode was brought to you by the Ayers Agency, a full service marketing firm noted in entertainment and culture. So how was that? Like, when you walked in on your mom trying to take her life, like,
it was. I honestly probably wouldn't even be able to explain it. Mm-hmm. I remember it like it was today, though. Something woke me up. I was washing for school the next morning, and something woke me up. Her light was still on. I went to go downstairs to change, put the clothes in the dryer. Went back upstairs. Something told me. I'm like, she usually be asleep. came in there. She was laid out, and she had a suicide letter. Mm. And so I instantly called 911. Ambulance came, and they came and got her. I followed the ambulance there to the hospital, and they ended up putting her in a mental institute shortly after. And it was crazy because they were trying to keep her. Like, mm-hmm. they were trying to keep me. Mm-hmm. And it was just me there at her house at the time. I was still in high school, and it was rent time. She wasn't there. They kept her, I think, at least 30 days. Okay. And it was around rent time, and I was trying to find different ways to pay it so she had a place to come home to.
Yeah.
But by the time she got out, I couldn't.
You couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So all y'all stuff got put out, or was you able to get y'all stuff?
No, we lost everything.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Except for the dog we had at the time, but by then we gave it away. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And it was just y'all too. So what did you do, like, when y'all lost? Was she still there when you got put out? Where did you stay?
If I can remember. Oh, my friend. I was staying with my friend Janae.
Oh, okay.
At the time, mm-hmm. in high school, I started staying with her. I was able to keep some of my stuff mm-hmm. because I knew what was going on at the time. But I'm not going to lie to you. I don't even remember, like, the day it got put out. I don't remember none of that. And I kind of learned that some of that is trauma, too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I really can't even pinpoint how I transition into the next mm-hmm. part. I can't.
And so when you tried to take your life, did it take you back to walking in on your mom? Or you just didn't even think about that?
I didn't even think about it. All I think about is get myself out of there, for one, because I had a job to tend to. They don't care.
Oh, because they committed you. Afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I couldn't call nobody. I couldn't use my phone or nothing. But
who found you to save you?
Cousin. Mm-hmm. My cousin Emmy. She from Memphis, mm-hmm. and she just so happened to be down there for New Year's and her birthday. Her birthday on the 31st, so then New Year's.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, I do know. We got on subjects and was talking, and something triggered me. Something triggered me, and I just was, like, caught in my emotions. And it was just one of them nights I couldn't get out of it. And I just remember keep telling myself, like, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. Because I've been in survival mode since I was young. I was tired.
So what did it make you feel like? Like, when you got in your emotions, was it because you felt like what? Like, you was shameful of what happened, or you felt...
It was a mix of everything. Mm-hmm. It was basically like, why me? Like, why do I have to keep
going through this?
Yeah, like, yeah. It's just a cycle that is never ending. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, no matter how hard I try to even be a good person or just be a human, like, it's just like, I can't shake it.
But you don't see that you have purpose?
Now I do.
You see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I still fight with that. Sometimes you get in your little mode and you just like, but I have to remind myself of that little girl.
Yeah.
Because she got through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not only that, you know, that little girl is going to help save millions of other mm-hmm. young girls and women.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? So I know it's not the most, it never feels good when we're going through anything, mm-hmm. you know, but you do have purpose. And I know, like, that meme say, I'm trying to call God to make sure I'm not on his strongest soldier.
I'm telling you, I felt that one. I probably reposted that a couple times. Like, I'm calling him too.
Yeah, like, Lord, put me on the blessed and highly tribulation.
This year, please, this year. Just look out this year. But I get it. And you get around a lot of people that feel like your life being shambles, or you go through the motions because you're not a good person, mm-hmm. or you did some stuff wrong.
Right.
No, that's not the case.
At all.
You're anointed.
That's right.
And God is not doing it to punish you. Mm-hmm. He knows that you're the person who he needs to put that in to
save others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I fought with that a long time. And I still, piggyback on that. When people try to fix their mouth to say stuff like that, no, that's not the case.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And I'm not going to let you tell me that either.
Period. Point blank. Mm-hmm. Find somebody to play with, not me, because I am God's anointed. Okay? Hello. And he do not play by me.
He don't. And y'all know it. And you know it.
So you, your woman's organization, like, that's how it was birthed. Tell me about it.
So, okay, so I was writing a book, too. Mm-hmm. I started my book in 2016, mm-hmm. and I kind of stopped because life was life. But some told me, I'm like, I run across a lot of people that, even if they're older, like I got 40-year-olds that come to me for advice and stuff like that, and probably even older than that.
Yeah.
And I start just peeping it after a while. I'm like, why is everybody coming to me for everything? It don't matter what it was.
They drew
even
to the
my
light
family, like, yeah. they know I've been out in Atlanta for however long. It's like everybody called me for everything. And at the time, it was overwhelming. But I'm like, let me stop looking at it like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. So I start journaling and stuff. And I'm like, I can use what I'm journaling to talk to people.
Right.
And at the time, I was doing lashes in a suite on Metropolitan Parkway. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Park District or something. It's a whole bunch of suites and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I started noticing, like, oh, they got an open space upstairs that nobody uses. It's open all day. You got access to it. So I ended up talking to one of the owners. She had a barbershop in there. And I was like, hey, how would you feel if I used this space, like, rented it out for, like, every Sunday or whatever? And she was like, hell yeah. And I told her why. Mm-hmm. She was like, yeah. So I wrote up a little contract. I had her sign it. And she was like, you don't have to pay nothing.
Oh, wow.
I was like, period.
The gift will make room for you, baby.
So I got on, what is it, Staples. I got a banner made. I I ordered some refreshments, all that. I put it on Eventbrite and came up with my name, did the little outline, and I just promoted it. And I'm going to show you the videos.
Okay.
That first turnout was everything.
It was?
Yes. I didn't know it would turn out like that. And I just was talking to them. I was just being transparent. Mm-hmm. And what we would talk about is just a lot of issues that swept under the rug. And I had people of all ages. I had older people. I had younger people. I had people my age. Like, it was everything.
Yeah.
And then after
what was your
that
first topic? Do you remember?
Oh, so I didn't just have one topic.
Okay.
What I did was I printed out sheets with different topics, mm-hmm. and I passed it around. Everybody had pens, and they would fill them out so they wouldn't feel like they're on the spot. Mm-hmm. So they would fill it all out, and I had somebody come and film, and I would kick off the conversation.
Okay.
And you would see in the video, one of them was, what would you tell your 15-year-old self? Mm-hmm. And I was just talking about all of the things that I went through and how I'm not the one to blame for it and stuff like that. And it just went from there. And then everybody else went down their topics and they would speak and it just came from there. So I would come up with different topics every time, but it was never just one.
Okay.
I wanted it to be open enough so people can pick and choose what they want to talk about.
Talk about, yeah. Mm-hmm. What was the name? What's the name of your organization?
CCS, Compliance Complacent Sundays.
Okay.
Yep. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really beautiful. I had a lot of people reaching out to me. And when the next, and that's when I knew, I'm like,
I got something.
That was therapy for them. Yeah. Like, they walked away feeling something. And the secretary at my doctor's office, she ended up coming to one of them.
Oh, really?
She would not stop writing me about it. And I didn't know what she had going on.
Yeah.
She was the happiest person ever.
Because, you know, a lot of times people, we wear masks, mm-hmm. you know, and you would look at, like, you know, even how we look at some people on Instagram or social media and you feel like they have it all together, but sometimes it's a lot of mask on and no one wants to be the one to come out and be transparent mm-hmm. about things that they feel like is embarrassing, yep. you know? Yeah.
To touch on that, mm-hmm. when I made that post that made you reach out to me, mm-hmm. I've been in a space where anything I post gives me very bad anxiety, even just responding to people. And it's crazy because I'll post something, I'm like, oh, let me take it down. Oh, that's too much. I'm being too transparent. But I made that post on Thanksgiving, and I felt it. Like, I felt it. I couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm finna just post this because it's
And look how it took off. Mm-hmm.
That's how
I
tap.
Look how I took off. That's how I found you.
I know. That's how I found you.
It popped up on, it had to, not my timeline. I had to see it. Like, I don't even remember how it I seen it, numbers, as a matter of fact.
So ain't no telling.
Yeah, everybody maybe going through reels or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I seen it on somebody else's page and then went to your page. Yeah, because, you know, so how did you feel like you finally things are going good for you? Things are picking up because at that time, you here in Atlanta, you had the organization, and then, bam, you get in a car accident.
Yeah, that kind of topped everything off because even before the accident, I had lost my house, had a 7-bedroom house. I had lost the car before that car. So, like I said, I was in an esthetician program when I lost the Benz. Mm-hmm. And so when I got the Porsche that I crashed, it was just like I had finally, I'm like, okay, cool, stuff kind of picking up. And it still wasn't up and up how I wanted it to be because my hand went out. So, you know, I used to do hair in college or whatever. Then I was doing the lashes. And when I was doing the lashes, I had felt the pain shooting up my arm. But I kind of ignored it. I'm like, maybe I'm not sitting right or something like that or something. But I ignored it. And so one day I woke up and I literally couldn't do nothing with my hand. And I thought, okay, maybe I slept on it. It's sleep. But next thing I look up is 2 months later and I still can't do nothing with it. And it was around the time I had lost my job, and then I couldn't pay for insurance, health insurance, so I was paying out of pocket for them to see what's going on. And each visit, they run a different test, and I'm just like, can y'all just run all of them right now? Because I need to figure this out so I can make me some money. Mm-hmm. So they didn't care. They was trying to make their money back from COVID at this point. In my head, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, y'all can't bill me. Y'all can't do nothing. They wouldn't do nothing, so they told me I had to do a nerve study and this and that. But long story short, I moved out of my house and I decided to get baptized. And then literally not even a week later, that's when I got in my car accident. And I'm like, and the crazy thing is, they recorded when I was getting baptized and the pastor literally said, he said, that demon is going to try to wipe you out. He literally said it. He didn't say that while nobody else was getting baptized. Mm-hmm. He said it while I was getting baptized. That demon, the devil is going to try to wipe you out. And that's what he tried to do. That's exactly what he tried to do. If you look at that car.
I seen the car. It was ravaged. Like, it looked like how you take a soda can and could just.
And just crush it all the way up.
Yep.
I walked away with just some bruises. All my nails was broken down to the meat. And then my ribs was hurting. That's it. I had all my limbs.
Girl, did you give God an amen and a hallelujah and a thank you, Jesus?
I did beat myself up, too, though.
You did?
Yeah,
why?
I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, you know, that's just.
Like, yeah, like when automatically think, like.
What can you have done differently?
Yeah, or you try to backtrack to feel like, am I off in my life? You know, like my truck got stolen a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, like. What, you know what I mean? Where am I off in my life? Because I'm celibate. You know what I mean? I try to live right. I pour people. You know, like I'm not a phony. So I was trying to go down the line and see, like, why? Where did this happen from? But you know, sometimes it's not us. It's just the events of life. Yeah. You get what I mean? But I understand how you feel like. You was checking yourself to be like, man, I just gave my life to God. Are you serious?
Exactly. I'm like, this just topped it off. And, yeah, I'm just like, what the heck? Where do I go from now? Like, what's my next steps? Like, that's all I could think of is what's my next steps.
But then the show came about, right? You auditioned for the show the same day, right? So after the car accident or?
It was a couple days. It was probably like 2 days later. Mm-hmm. Because I had just got out the hospital. I remember getting out the hospital, having them come get me. And then I went to go find something to wear for the auditions. And I remember saying, like, dang, I'm in pain. And so I didn't even go pick up my prescription from the pharmacy because I'm like, I already know how I am. I'm going to want to drink something. I don't want to take the pills and drink.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So I just ended up going to the auditions. And then I just so happened to be the first person they called up though. I said, damn, y'all didn't even let me like kind of get my life together in my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that's just God. Like, girl, get your butt up there.
Yeah.
And do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, ugh. So I'm standing up there, but they trying to get everything together. Mm-hmm. So I remember just telling them, like, I'm in a little pain. I just got in a car accident. So they like, sit down until they get everything together.
Yeah.
So then I stood back up, did what I had to do, said what I had to say. And I was just transparent there, too. Mm-hmm. And I ended up making it and getting on the casting for the show.
And if you could tell them, what's the name of the show?
City Girls of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, it's based in Atlanta, of course. Yeah. It's on Lax Network. Mm-hmm.
So did you like that first season?
I did. I understand the process, period. I understand the process. I'm not going to say everybody's process. Mm-hmm. But so it's a growing network. And I see they're doing season two, and it's looking really nice. I know what my intentions was, season one.
Yeah. You wanted to get yourself out there.
Yeah.
More exposure.
Yeah.
As you
and
should.
And not only that, network.
Yeah.
Pour on to other people, and I thought they would pour on to me. And, you know, I met some really nice people. I just feel like, you know, it's a process.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's next for you?
What's next for me is... First off, I want to open up a salon, like a one-stop shop. I want to do the advanced treatments, and I still want to be in the skincare, doing aesthetics and stuff like that. Right now, I got a vending machine selling customized wigs and lashes. I'm still looking for a location for that.
Okay.
I really want to get that set somewhere in some type of location, so that's what I've been working on. And I definitely want to get my woman's organization going back.
Yeah, I think you should. You gonna do it in Chicago and Atlanta, or would you just strict? You don't know.
Well,
pray about
yet.
It. Yeah. And you need to pick your book back up and finish your book.
That too, because
exactly. Yeah, not that too.
So
that.
I watch Sarah Jake Roberts. Mm-hmm. You know who
she
is?
Yeah, of course I know who she is.
Every time I watch her sermons, she talk about finish the book, finish the book. I'm like, that's for me.
Yeah,
that's for me. My niece. She asked me all the time, because back then I made it a duty to at least write 2 pages a day. If if not anything, at least write 2 pages a day. And she used to always ask me, like, T.T., did you write today? So I'm just like, I need to finish that book.
Yeah, you need to finish it.
Been happening.
Yeah, but you got to still find a way.
Right.
You got to think about it. I need you to tap into that 12-year-old, that 17-year-old who worked 2 jobs. And graduated with honors, still got up in the morning. That same girl, that tenacity you're going to have to use to get your book finished.
Exactly.
You got to get your book out to the world. This is your this is your time. This is your season. You keep saying, God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready.
Know.
Give him something to work with.
I know.
He can't just say, he just can't, you know, come down and write it for you. You know,
give him something to work with.
Yeah. Give him something to work with. Before you go, talk about the shirt you have on.
Okay, so this is my friend's clothing line. It says Trauma Kills, Let's Heal. Mm-hmm. She's a very close friend of mine, and I made it my duty to wear that on this podcast because I knew I would be talking about my testimony.
Right.
And this is my way of letting my testimony be heard, too. Mm-hmm. She and her father of her kids was one of my close friends, and he tragically got shot in front of her. And that's just something that she got these 2 kids. Mm-hmm. One of them she was pregnant with at the time. So it's like something that she's been dealing with. Mm-hmm. And she's using her testimony to heal other people.
And that's a blessing.
And that's a blessing. So I have to represent y'all definitely.
Say her name. Tell us where to get the sweatshirt.
It's Tiandria.com. I'm going to leave you with a card, too.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Tiandria, spell that for them, because.
T-E-A-U-N-D-R-E.
Yeah.
D-R-I-A.
D-R-I-A.
Yeah, girl. Yes. Wait, I got the car. Let me make sure.
Yeah, because Tiandria, that's one of them names that came about in the 80s and the
90s. I'm glad I looked, because she added something after. Uh-huh. It's TiandriaUnique.com. So I-T-S-T-E-A-N-D-R-E-A-U-N-I-Q-U-E.com. Yes.
Trauma kills. Let's heal.
Yes, she got the hats and everything.
Yeah, that's dope. Yes. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, y'all make sure y'all support her and continue to encourage her as she encourages you.
Sure will.
And go ahead and do the things that you need to do so God can take you to that next level.
Definitely.
And stop procrastinating, okay?
I know. Thank you so much.
No. Thank you. And I wanted, I know we didn't really talk about it, but I want you to tell people that that you and your father, that y'all speak now, even though he was gone.
Yeah. Me and my father definitely speak. Like I said, I'm still trying to, tell him certain things to learn more about me. But, before he got locked up, I was definitely a daddy's girl. And he's a great man. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, leave that part out.
Yeah.
He only got locked up and did 12 years because he was trying to provide for his family.
Right.
It was never nothing, mm-hmm. bad or malicious. Mm-hmm. He was selling too.
Selling drugs, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but he made sure his family was straight when he was out. And he's still a stand-up man to this day.
That's good.
We going through the process and through the motions like anybody would, missing out on, 12 years of their daughter's life. So I love him to death, but we just trying to, find our
common. Find y'all way, mm-hmm. Yep, and it'll come. Maybe y'all could do stuff like play flashcard games, where, you tell him something.
He just came and got me, but the weekend before last, mm-hmm. we went, we had some good food, mm-hmm. authentic Mexican food.
Oh, okay.
And then we had our drinks, and then we went to another place, and we good.
That's good.
We having our talks.
He
feeling more comfortable with asking me certain questions and mm-hmm. stuff.
That's good. That's good. Okay, so before you leave, this is Break Free Podcast, so you have to tell me something that you feel like you need to break free from.
I need to break free from the trauma. I need to heal, y'all. And I'm still learning, and I'm like I said, I'm trusting in my process, but I need to break free from my past. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It'll happen. Yep, it'll happen. Keep going. Stay encouraged. And I'm going to be checking on you, too, okay?
Period. I'm going to be looking forward to it.
To make sure you do what you need to do to, get to that next level or whatever. Yes. And I pray someone sees this, too, and help you with your vending machine, your idea that you have for the vending machine to find a home for it. So you never know what God has in store.
I know that's right.
Yes. Well, guys, this has been another great episode. I hope you was blessed as I was blessed. And remember, it's always delusion until they see it happen. I'll see you next week.